Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, I think it's chapter Madhyalila, chapter 21, text 94. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mayera Adeshe Prabhu Daya Vishrambar. Satvare Aila Yata Advaitaragara. On the order of his mother, Vishrambar ran quickly to the house of Advaita. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati sapadantikam vansha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from New Jersey. It's just amazing how long we've all been inside, which has its advantages and disadvantages. Last night, just before I went to bed, I got a phone call from Burijan Prabhu. I think 75% of you know him, a senior Vaishnava, a very good friend of mine. And he was talking about the disappearance of passing away of Bhakti True Swami, His Holiness Bhakti True Swami. Most of you know about this, but he was one of the most confidential associates of Prabhupada. And, a lot of times someone passes away, they get sick for a while and, they go to doctors and, it kind of builds up your expectations. But he was saying this was so sudden. And not only so sudden, but and not only such an important figure, but in the modern world, it's a global community. So, devotees, prominent devotees really live in your life as part of your reality. And we talked about it for a little while, and then he said that this next decade is going to be, he said, we can call it the decade of tears. Because just the nature of Prabhupada's movement, the senior Vaishnavas, who were the foundation of Prabhupada's mission, were all born between 4 or 5 years of 1970. So they're all generally most 70 or above, or maybe close to 70, and they'll be passing away. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when there's a very important section called Ramananda Siksha, the instructions of Ramananda Roy, which probably is one of the greatest outlines of comparative religion in the world. I don't want to go into that discussion, but at the end, Lord Chaitanya asked him questions, and he says, you know, what is the greatest pain? And he says, it's separation from a Vaishnava. Because they add so much to our lives. Well, I mean, I wasn't with him very much, but I can say that whenever I was with him, the exchanges were always one of respect, kindness, and empathy in a very, very deep way. And he really represented in the Hare Krishna movement the emblem of Vaishnava and Vaishnava etiquette. And there's a saying that one will be remembered more for how one made one feel than what one has accomplished. And I think it's really important to understand that. So it's a real example to really be conscious to make all our dealings with others as far as possible. There's extenuating circumstances, but as far as others, as Vaishnavas, and one of respect and kindness and empathy. So I'm certainly sad that his presence is no longer here. So I just wanted to say a few words. I mean, there'll be a lot on his accomplishments, et cetera. But if you can imagine, Prabhupada left in December, in November of 1977. And he came to Krishna consciousness, or Prabhupada's mission, in 1975, at the very end. And within 3 or 4 months, Prabhupada gave him first initiation, second initiation, and sannyas. And that's unprecedented. I was there, I think, when he took sannyas in Vrindavan. And that was unprecedented. And he was one of Prabhupada's caretakers towards the end. So he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavs die, for Vaishnavs die to live, and living spread the holy name around. So this is Nityalila Pravishta. They're not just historical personalities, they're eternal personalities. But we'll certainly miss these people. Just their presence on the planet, just to know and look forward that, you know, we were going to see them and say hello. Okay. So let's get to our pastime, this Gaur Lila. And you know, we've been following a particular pattern, and if we can get that vision that, you know, Lord Chaitanya came for two reasons: to taste Krishna consciousness and to distribute Krishna consciousness. And that's actually our purpose in life. Our purpose is to taste higher consciousness and to somehow or other share higher consciousness. So every chapter, Lord Chaitanya is wandering around Navadvip, Nadia, where he was born, preaching the glories of Krishna, Mukunda Madhava, Yadava Hari. And just to put this in context, the previous pastime was about a very pure Brahmin named Devananda Pandit, who had so many good qualities, but he didn't have devotion. And that was accentuated by the fact that he offended a Vaishnava. Actually, his disciples offended Srivas Thakur, and Lord Chaitanya held him responsible for it. And he was chastised by Lord Chaitanya. He understood that even though he could speak flowery and quote so many verses, the substance was not there. Someone has to have realization to... Someone can know so many verses and so many things, but if he's not practicing bhakti and having realizations of bhakti, then hearing from them will just be either a sensual or academic exercise. And it won't move the heart, which is actually the purpose of Shastra, is to actually move the heart. So this chapter begins where Vrindavan Das Thakur says, well, you know, here about the story of Mother Sachi, who even the Lord's mother, who offended a Vaishnava, was temporarily bereft of his mercy. As I've been studying this story, there's a lot more to it. The Lord accomplishes many things at once. But one second. So just to reiterate a little of the story, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, God is coming to become complete by relishing the ecstasy of devotion, which is in the heart of his devotee. So he wants to actually become his own devotee. But sometimes he manifests his position of God, especially in Srivas Angam, the place of Srivas Thakur, is on the altar and says, I am he. And then he gives blessings, and people have asked for blessings according to their attachment, but Lord Chaitanya gives them love of Godhead. And this goes on. And then, you know, what about Mother Sachi? And he doesn't give benediction to Mother Sachi because she has offended Advaita Acharya, a great Vaishnava. And Lord Chaitanya explains, if one offends a great Vaishnava, one could only be excused by that Vaishnava. And I've spoken on this many, many days, but you know, this is the pivot to your spiritual life. So I can repeat the same points, that bhakti is easy. Avoiding offenses is difficult, especially sadhu ninda, criticism of Vaishnavas. Also a warning about internet, which facilitates, among other things, prajalpa, idle talk. And how the acharyas explain that idle talk will ultimately lead to criticism of Vaishnavas, because that envy is just a scratch below the surface in all of us. It really is. And if we're honest, we'll see it. because we've come to this world for desire and hate, and the desire is for superiority. And the desire for superiority somehow or other spontaneously moves to put others down and to actually relish it. So this is such a strong warning. This is, I'm saying to everyone, and I'm speaking to myself here, this is so foundational to bhakti. This is so foundational to bhakti. I know one godbrother of mine, he had beautiful Gorni Thai deities, and maybe he had a Govardhan Shila, and he had one little wood deity of three monkeys on his altar. One with his hands over the eyes, one with his hands over the ears, and one with his hands over the mouth. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Anyway, as I mentioned in the beginning, the passing of Bhakti True Marj is just an example of living that way, of appreciating Vaishnavas and respecting them and being kind to them. And by that process alone, bhakti will mature in our hearts. Taramadye sarva shreshte nama sankirtan nira aparade poya paya prem nira aparade poya. If you can simply avoid offense, of all the process of devotional service, chanting the holy name is the best. And if you can avoid offense, you can easily get prema pumarta mahan. That's the goal. What other goal can there be than a selfless heart full of universal love, which is the ultimate pleasure? You know, I once heard of this sadhu in Vrindavan. I actually met him this year. And he would live different places in Vrindavan. And, you know, literally, I don't think he chanted less every day than 192 rounds. I don't think he chanted less than that. But at least I know he chanted from 5:30 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon without stop. And, you know, I met him and he was just so respectful to me, it was embarrassing. Honored me, it was embarrassing. But somehow he had one book that he wrote, which was a dialogue. It wasn't very long, it was about 50 pages between two Vaishnavas about Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. And I read the book, it was translated in English. And it was militantly about respecting people and avoiding offenses, even unknowingly. So that was the consciousness of someone who's chanting 9 hours a day without stop. That's the secret. Because it's not the name that is not tasty. It's the covering of the name by our consciousness. And the covering of the name by our consciousness is called upa rad. Rada means worship. Upa means to distance oneself from worship. So Lord Chaitanya is setting this example. So he tells his mother, unless you get the dust of the feet of Advaita. Now, Advaita is a Vaishnava. And this is an offense. to give the lowest part of my body to the most exalted personality. I honor the most exalted personality by honoring the lowest part of their body, the foot. But for me to do that, and he glorifies Mother Sachi, and then he faints, and then Mother Sachi takes the dust of his feet, and then she faints, and then as it is the spiritual reality, rasa vaisaha, where it's overflowing with the highest form of love, all the Vaishnavas, Hari Bo and Kirtan and ecstasy. Love, that's happiness. Devotion is happiness. And in the spiritual world, that's what it is. That's what the Bhagavatam is. Rasa, the Bhagavatam is only rasa. It's an expression of love. So any sound in the spiritual world, is a vehicle for devotion. Any sight in the spiritual world is an expression of devotion. Any fragrance in the spiritual world is an expression of devotion. And that's what's there. And if you open your heart to it, you open your ears to it, then you not only hear the sound, you feel the heart, and that's how your heart becomes spiritual. So this is the spiritual process. And then Lord Chaitanya blesses his mother, now you're free. And Vrindavan Das Thakur makes the point again. The Lord cautioned all about Vaishnava aparad through his mother. Even if one has the Lord Shiva, Vaishnava Yata Shambhu, the highest practicing devotee, Lord Shiva, if you commit Vaishnava aparad, so careful we must be. And then now, Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author, he's going to explain what happened and how Mother Sachi offended. It's not even an offense. It's just natural motherly love. But Lord Chaitanya had an older brother, and he was so attractive. He had all good qualities. He was so beautiful. He was so attractive. And his father, Jagannath Mishra, took him one day to some assembly of Brahmins, and they looked at him. He's so beautiful. And they said to him, "What did you learn today?" He said, "I learned a little something about everything." And then his father took him home and slapped him and said, "This is so arrogant. You know, they asked you what you learned. You should have said something." So he went back. And he's just a young boy, and he explained to them what he learned. And it was unbelievable. They said, "We've never heard an explanation about this. This is incredible." And he said, "Well, you weren't listening carefully because," and then he gave the opposite explanation. And then they said, "Wow, we never saw this. This was such a deep insight." He said, "We haven't really understood it." So in this way, it was just giving an example that this was a very brilliant person, but he was very unhappy because this is actually historical. At that time, real spirituality is very rare. There may be religious formalities where people become pious or they control their instincts, but real spirituality is bhakti. It's the selflessness of the heart to connect with the Supreme and the will of the Supreme. Real spirituality is that. And it's a liking for that. And it's a love for that. And it's bhakti. It's universal love. And it's not about gaining this or gaining that or gain. And most religion is like that. Even the Vedas, it's 80% karma kanda, where your lower impulses are regulated so society should be, so you can be socialized. And it's done by cosmic bribery. Sahayagya praja shishva parovacha prajapati anena pasavishyadvam eshavosva. God sent forth sacrifices and be happy and perform them, and you'll be, you know, you'll get everything you desire, and you'll also make some spiritual advancement. But real spirituality is complete selflessness in the heart, where what we want is no longer primary. What the universe wants, what God wants, what's right becomes primary. That life of sacrifice and love, surrender, bhakti, it creates such a beautiful heart. And that's not most of what's around in religiosity. And especially in Navadvipa at that time, there was religious formalities, but people was mostly for the prosperity of their family or useless arguments to show that we're superior and things like this. So he was very, very distressed. And we should also be distressed. We should also be distressed with the condition of the world, no doubt, the condition of the world. So what he was looking for, he was looking for the real thing. I think we're fortunate, I think, connecting to Prabhupada, because so many gurus came and come, and they're cheaters. It's all about word jugglery and about themselves. Prabhupada was never about himself. In fact, I was astounded when I traveled in South India in 1978. And everywhere I went, people said, oh yes, we know the Hare Krishnas. We know you're a Chutananda Swami. Because this young Western devotee in his early 20s was brilliant and learned the Indian languages and the Indian music and traveled around. They didn't know who Prabhupada was. Prabhupada didn't make it his movement. He made it Krishna's movement. He glorified Krishna. He was real. He didn't just say what people want to hear. He spoke the truth. It's very bold. And that's hard to find. That's what we have to pray for so deeply. That's why we feel separation when souls who have that spirit in their heart, like His Holiness Bhakti True Maharaj, leave the planet. So, but he founded Dvaita Acharya. And he started to take shelter of Dvaita Acharya with his beautiful explanations of bhakti. The process is simple. The application is difficult. The process is simple because anyone can do it. It's not a material qualification. You just have to surrender to God. The application is difficult because you have to surrender to God. And the thing we are most attached to more than anything else is our ego, our false ego, the false conception of the self, that I am independent, that I am the controller, that the world is about, that life is about moving the world around my desires. And it's me, 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 me. Right? I was saying my father's generation was called the greatest generation. They sacrificed. I also told the story of my uncle, Rabbi Alexander Good, who's very educated, I think at Harvard and John Hopkins, and was exempt from the military and volunteered because he saw that with the Hitler, the forces of evil were there. And he was on a battleship, the USS Dorchester, and it was going from Greenland to England with soldiers, and it was sunk. And there weren't enough life preservers. And him and the other three chaplains, four chaplains, they got everybody else they could off the boat. There weren't enough, and they went down with the boat, arm in arm, singing the Psalms of David. So that was called the Greatest Generation. And then the next generation after that was called the baby boomers. That's the spoiled hippie generation. And then after that, there was the me generation. And then I always remember that author Thomas Wolfe. He wrote an article on that and said they'll never understand duty above self. Duty above self. So, this heart of sacrifice and devotion is so rare to find, even in religion. And Vishwaroop found it and he started hearing those explanations. And he would spend all his time there. And now we're up to the part where Nehemiah is just a little boy. He's described with curly hair and enchanting dress. You know, the mother likes to dress up the child. And he says, "Would you please go get Vishwaroop?" And Vishwaroop and Vishvambar, that's Lord Chaitanya, runs to the house of Advaitacharya. And Advaita is sitting there. He's the Acharya. And he's given explanations, and Srivas Thakur is there. And now just imagine how beautiful Lord Chaitanya is. Sometimes you'll see a child that's just karmically very attractive. And you'll want to serve. I guess cute or attractive. You want to serve. And Vishvambar smiled and said, he comes in, he says, "Oh brother," talking to Vishwaroop, "come to eat lunch, don't be late." And when he said that, they all gazed at him. He was so attractive. They all gazed at him, and his most attractive form is the child. He captured the hearts of everyone. And Advaitacharya forgot everything else and he just started staring at Vishvambar. Vishvambar is God. It's all attractive. We may be attracted to a person for one quality and or one relationship or another, but he was so attractive. And Vishvambar would do this. Every day he would go to the house of Advaitacharya, and every day they would stare at him. And then Advaita became a little bit puzzled. He said, you know, because he's Advaita, he's Acharya, he's detached, and he was thinking, why is this child stealing my heart? Why is he stealing my heart? He must be my Lord. No one else can steal my heart away. It must be my Lord. And then God is in everyone's heart. As soon as Advaita would think like this, then Lord Chaitanya would go. And Vishwaroop, Lord Chaitanya would come every day, that this is going to be part of the story, but Vishwaroop, he was just rejected all worldly enjoyment and just wanted to be in the association of Advaita. And this wasn't just dry renunciation. This was relishing this rasa-gyanam, the beauty and attraction of Krishna. When you serve Guru and Krishna, the reward for that is the attraction to Krishna. And there's such a deep attraction because it's the most beautiful thing in the world, and the feelings towards it are unprecedented in terms of pleasure because they are tinged with the internal potency of the Lord. So, and this Vishwaroop, he's non-different from Nityananda. Of course, he's going to leave. And it's he's described a little bit before. So, only the Supreme Lord knows the desire of the Supreme Lord. Within a short time, Vishwaroop accepted sannyas. So this young man, young boy, I'm not sure, he takes sannyas. And their sannyas is not like today's sannyas, ISKCON sannyas. Prabhupada said, we can't, it's not practical to be like sannyasis of days of yore. But when you took sannyas in that culture, you never saw your family again. And therefore, for a mother, it's breaking their hearts. So her mother is devastated. You know, I saw this documentary years ago. And it was about this lady basketball player who became a nun. She, you know, she was the top. And somehow or other she became a nun. And she joined this monastery where you don't see your family. They can only come once a month, and there's bars, which the nuns say, just like the rib cage protects the internal organs. Those bars protect one from, and you can't see your family. And then after 25 years, there's another door where you open up and people who know you can come and hug you. So her mother, who now must have been, after 25 years, so she must have been 50, the mother must be 80, and that's the last time that the mother and her basketball coach was there, and this priest who wanted to marry her, and you know, everyone, and the door opens up, and she hugs people, and then that's it. Same thing here with Vishwaroop, except never again. And you know, now we have the global world. You can't hide wherever you are. When I first came to Vrindavan, I don't think people here can imagine this. There was one phone in all of Vrindavan. And it was at what's called the Kotwali or the police station. And that phone, I swear to God, it must have been a Tropicana juice orange can with a piece of metal connected to Mathura. Because if you wanted to call any place, you had to book the call, and they call Mathura. And then Mathura calls Delhi, and Delhi has to call So it was about a 1 in a million shot to get through to America. That kind of isolation. Remember when Satsrukmar came, he said, ah, no phones. Now the global world, we're using it now very nicely. I can't say how overjoyed I am to be able to see all my students, friends, well-wishers every week, twice a week. You know, Prabhupada said you use a thorn to remove a thorn. You know, you get a thorn in your foot, you take another thorn and remove it. So you have to do it. But so Vishwaroop, he leaves home. And his mother's she's devastated. And then after she became a little pacified, and then she thought, it way to induce my son to leave home. But out of fear of offending a Vaishnava, she did not say anything but kept her grief within. Out of fear of offending a Vaishnava. But when she saw Vishvambar, Lord Chaitanya, her son, she forgot her distress, and Lord Chaitanya, out of love and compassion for her mother, helped her to increase her happiness. But after a while, when Lord Chaitanya is beginning to reveal his mission, he began to go to Advaita. And then Lord Chaitanya also rejected all happiness. And he started to give up the company of his wife because they got him married to Lakshmi. And he passed the time in the house of Advaita. Now again, we learned at the beginning of the Krishna consciousness movement that there shouldn't be artificial renunciation. Men taking sannyas artificially and leaving their families. And there's several things involved. One, your family has to be completely protected, cared for, et cetera. And you have to be extremely qualified and not just young, you know, after the duties are there and, you know, of course, there's Vanaprastha, the husband and wife together are renounced, and they both develop a spirit and understanding. And I think this is what old age is it starts to tell you, you know, don't invest in this world. It's a losing proposition. Don't invest in this world. Don't become attached to this world. Become detached from this world. It's time. You know, just God is speaking loudly to you. I kind of feel that way with these little health challenges I've been having lately. It's just God telling me, well, become detached, you know. It's like an old car. You know, you start repairing the parts and after a while, there's nothing you can do. So don't get attached to the car. It's going to putter along a little time longer. And Bori Jumper was telling me, talk to his sister about your health. And she said, how's your health? She said, patch by patch. Patch by patch. So, but Vishwambar is young, but it's so, it's, again, you have duties, and the duties are prescribed according to your condition. But when you're detached from the world, you don't have any particular duties for your own purification. You may have them for the example of others. You may have them for the responsibility. But you don't have them for your own purification. And there's rare souls that come to such a level of spirituality that they're capable of renouncing the world with the full understanding that God will protect everyone. So when Mother Sachi saw her son was not staying home, she said, "Advaita Acharya will take this son too." In lamentation, she continued, "Why is he called Advaita?" Advaita means God, non-dual. Vedanta tat tatvavidat tatvad. Vedanta tat tatvavidat tatvayajjanam advayam. God is consciousness and nothing is separated from God. That's the real meaning of Advaita. So he said, well, he's not Advaita. This Gosai is actually Dvaita. And Dvaita means dual, but it means also hypocritical. Why? He has already induced one of my sons to leave home, and now he will not leave my other son in peace. I am a widow. No one has compassion on me. He is a Dvaita to the world, but he is bewildering me with his network of duality. This was her only offense, nothing else. For this reason, the Lord did not bestow devotional service on her. Let those who consider some Vaishnavas as superior and some as inferior remain free from anxiety for some time. But in course of time, they will come to learn. The Supreme Lord, the instructing spiritual master of all, cautioned everyone about Vaishnava aparad by using his mother's example. You may think you're exempt or I'm exempt or I'm advanced or I'm in charge. I am high, he is low. But the Lord is instructing everyone through his mother. We all have to be careful about this. Anyone who transgresses the order of the lion-like Lord Chaitanya by blaspheming Vaishnavas will suffer the bondage of material existence. Now hear attentively why Lord Gaurachandra performed this pastime. Now, I'm not going to go into the second part, but there was another reason that he performed this pastime. Because Advaitacharya had some followers who considered him Sri Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda his followers. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to show that Advaita was a Vaishnava, and this is going to be described. Anyway, wow, we have such a nice group of Vaishnavas that have come today to listen to the class. That's great. Would anybody like to share something that they've heard from the class that they reflected on or maybe struck them or maybe they'll carry with them?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Jamuna Jaya, Hare Bo.
Thank you so much for class and thank you for the words about Bhakti Charaswami. I've been listening all day, so it's so nice to hear different perspectives about him. Wow. But I really loved what you said at the beginning about what real spirituality was, a selflessness of the heart. What a great definition. And it's so puts everything into one little package. It's such a wonderful definition. Thank you.
Yeah, it boils down to that. And as soon as there is motive, then it's not pure bhakti. That's why the term for bhakti is also sincere, that you serve because you want to serve, not because you want to get anything else. Okay, thank you, Jamuna Jaya. Okay, anybody else like to share any reflection?
Good morning, Maharaj.
Girma, Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna, how are you?
I'm stabilized, but there's something wrong with me, but I'm stable.
It's so encouraging to hear you speak about your health issues in such a calm manner. So I'm wishing for your well-being.
Thank you.
But I loved what you said. The process is simple. The application is difficult. I feel like what's laid out is simple and my mind wants to complicate things. The ego or the independence or all of it combined just wants to sort of figure it out mentally. And I know it's not an intellectual thing. It's, you know, it's this like heart pull that I have toward service, and I want to complicate it in my head.
It's very nice that it's simple. The process is simple. The application is difficult. It's a nice meditation. Girma, thank you. Nice to see you.
So good to see you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello? Share some realization, something they thought?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
So good to see you.
I mean, it's very important what you said about the Vaishnav relations, how, I mean, that's what makes a movement work. So what was particular about Bhakti Jaroswami, one of the things that struck me is what a peacemaker he was, how much he invested in trying to have relations. I mean, I saw that personally. And it's so rare to find such a gentleman in our midst, such a complete gentleman.
Yeah, I spoke a little bit at the beginning that all my interactions with him were kindness, respect, and empathy.
I missed the beginning. I was actually giving a class about him at the Bhakti Center, so I had to jump in. But I'll hear that part later. But thank you very much. Appreciate that comment.
Great to see you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Bhakti Devi. How are you?
Good.
I love the story about your uncle. It's movie-making material.
Well, I think there may have been. Have you ever heard the full story?
No.
Okay, maybe this week if you contact me.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was supposed to reach out to you this past week.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it goes further than that. I mean,
yeah,
it is.
I'd love to hear it.
There's postage stamps about him. When Henry organized a program for me at the National Cathedral to speak to the students there, my theme was there was actually in the National Cathedral a stained glass window with my uncle and the other chaplains.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's an amazing story.
And books written about him and things like that. Okay.
And I love this story about, not offending other Vaishnavas. It's a true lesson that needs to be learned. But also I think it extends beyond Vaishnavas and just being critical of anybody really.
Right.
Right.
I mean, start there and extend it to everyone with respect. Yes. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey.
I appreciated the clarity about aparad that you were able to give. I always think about a fence as something that's just external, you know, I'm just imposing that fence on someone outside of me. But then when you defined aparad as being basically the opposite of worship, taking yourself away from worship, that's where I had the realization of what that offense can actually be on myself. And, you know, it's something that I really don't think about very much. So I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm going to try to make it upstate on the 13th and see if I could stay up there a little time. I'll contact you. We'll see if we can get together. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Malati Devi Dasi.
Malati, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol, may I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
But first I need your help clarifying the name. You told the story about someone who saw in a child so attractive that they determined that must be their Lord. Was that Advaita and Vishwaroop?
That was Advaita. You know, he's an old man. He's very renounced. And this young, beautiful boy came in every day to call his brother. And he's just saying, why am I so attracted? Because actually it was the Supreme Lord. Yeah.
So my question is about discernment. Obviously, Advaita is far above those of us here on this call. But my first thought was he had such confidence in his instincts that this was Krishna. And it wasn't just his ego saying, this is an adorable child and I love him.
Vamos, vamos.
And how can the rest of us have that kind of discernment when we have an instinct or we're drawn in a certain direction to know the difference between ego and no, this is like a calling on the path of action?
I mean, we do have instinct. Savasya chamham, hiti sani vishto, matasmitir ganam. God is situated in everyone's heart and from him comes remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. But if it's a crucial decision in our life, then we can always ask Guru and the Vaishnavas. Because in the heart, it's the super soul, and the spiritual mass is the external manifestation of the super soul. So we can always consult and ask. Even myself, if I'm not sure, I have so many learned God brothers. So many learned God brothers and advanced souls that I can ask to take my ego out of the equation, because when you make decisions yourself, that can always be a factor. Okay, Malati?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, nice to see you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Thank you for a beautiful class. A lot to think about.
Who is that?
Shradanjali and Kalachanji.
Oh, Hari Bol. Nice to hear from you. Thank you so much. Okay. Lal and Braja.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I just wanted to share a reflection about how you said how one is remembered is by how one makes one feel and not what he accomplishes. And
more
how that relates.
By how one feels than what he accomplishes, yes.
Okay. I was thinking about how that also relates in the sense of aparad is because we could accomplish great things by just steamrolling over people and making a ton of offenses, getting to where we're making some kind of big accomplishment, but that's always going to be, that's how we're going to be remembered, is by those offenses, and the accomplishment isn't going to be such a great thing. But
I'm not knocking accomplishment. We do things sincerely for Krishna and to serve Krishna, and that's noted. But within the context of that, we just have to remember, it was just someone said that, and it's in the equation. It's not just what you accomplish, but it's how you make people feel that what's remembered. And with saying that in relationship to Bhakti True Maharaj, because he was such a gentleman. Okay, thank you. Nice to see both of you. Hi, Bo. Anybody else? Hey, Hari Bol. Thank you so much. Great to see both of you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thanks for the class and its Guru Purnima.
I can't hear you very well because I don't have, but I have hard of hearing, and I don't have earplugs for this computer. This is not my computer. My computer is broke.
Do you have my voice now, Maris?
No, I won't be able to hear you.
Okay, thank you.
Some other time. It's just not going to work. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj, it's Lisa.
Hi, Bo, Lisa. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Hema Lata Radha.
Hi, Bo.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
It's winter down there in Argentina?
Yes, it's winter and I'm going out. I'm getting ready to go out, so.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Gurudev.
Oh, Vraja Devi.
Vraja Devi. Thank you so much for the lovely class.
Thank you. It's so good that you're on. I'm so happy that I can connect with the people, you know, connect close to me now with this facility. That's great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Hare Bo. Good to see you.
Hare Bo. Nice to see you. Thank you for your class.
Okay. Thank you so much. Good. A few more people.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I'm sorry I joined so late. I just came from a class about spiritual relationships and I joined right when you were talking about detachment. And I was thinking of how, you know, you know, it's a fine line to keep that balance of, you know, detachment and connection. So thank you for the class, for what I got. And I'll go back and listen to the recording. So here at the beginning.
Thank you, Tiffany. Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for beautiful points that you give us. And I want to share, you told that it is not the name that has no taste. It is the covering of our consciousness and by aparat, which makes the names tasteless.
So important to meditate on. Thank you. Great to see you. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Don Kaley.
Don, I'm going to speak to you this week about me coming up there. It's a little bit different than before.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to see you.
Because I have a little few more needs. Okay. So we have to coordinate that before. Okay?
Great. Yep, we'll talk.
To see if I actually can stay up there now.
Okay.
Hare Bo. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hey, Krishna Premi. Hare Bo.
Hare Bo. Thank you. Great. For the wonderful class.
Wow. What mercy you got to stay in Mayapur.
Yes.
But I hope Radha Charan installs air conditioning because it's getting hot.
Not yet. Not yet. We are looking for a proper one. Yes.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Great. So good to see you. Hare Krishna. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Maharaj. Gail here.
Yeah, Hare Bo. Good. A few more.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharvika.
Oh, great, Gandharvika, Sri Gandharvika. Okay, thank you so much. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Gurmaraj, this is Kishori Radha.
And Tota Gopina.
Okay, great. Wonderful.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Chinmay Radha.
Wow, so nice to hear from you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Good.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class.
You're causing me my separation from Colombia. It's amazing. Even I don't think Vrindavan's going to be such an option now. Okay. Some time. Let's see. Okay, we'll talk about that. Okay, because I remember you did send that. Maybe next week or the week after, make a call with me. We'll discuss. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Govardhan, Hare Bo. Great. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to probably head out now. Any of you still around at 11 o'clock, I will speak again. Hare Krishna.